Okay, hello guys. I'd like to welcome you on this session with such an unordinary name. You see, I really like JavaScript. And we can start with a couple of questions. How many of you are using ASP.NET MVC? Okay, most of the people. Who is using ASP.NET Web Forms? Oh, half of the people, okay. And who is using some client-side JavaScript framework like Angular? Okay, quite a lot of people. Is somebody using some other JavaScript framework like Knockout.js maybe? Oh, a couple of people, okay. Or React? Oh, a few, okay. Okay, so let's start. My name is Tomáš Hrsek. I've came from the Czech Republic. I have a small development company there, and most of the apps we are doing is web apps. Typically, it's some kind of big ERP system with hundreds of forms and grids and something like that. And because our workflows and forms are quite complicated, there are some parts of them are generated dynamically. It's not really easy to find a suitable technology that would allow us to build those applications easily. So let's start. Okay, so typical customer requirement is that the application needs to be really responsive, really attractive, interactive. Everything must load immediately. There is absolutely no excuse for reloading the whole page for some trivial operation like clicking the button. So very soon you will discover that using pure MVC or pure ASP.NET Web Forms isn't enough to satisfy those requirements. The users got used to interactive JavaScript apps where many of the features are done with JavaScript and only a small amount of data is loaded from the server using JSON or something like that. Most of the customers just need single-page apps because they really don't like reloading the whole page or the scripts again. And the forms can be very, very complex with several screens, some wizard processes or something like that. And you have to do this against the HTTP protocol, which is stateless, and you have to think away how to persist the state. Typically, those apps are today written in Angular or Knockout.js or some other framework. And as a backend, as the server side, you are using ASP.NET Web API, or you can use MVC and some combination with Web API or something like that. So you have two parts, two quite large code bases. Once on the server, once on the client. So on the server, it's the typical scheme. You have some SQL database, data access layer, for example, entity framework. Then you have some business layer, which implements all the functionality, all the business core of the application. And on top of the business layer, you have the API, some API endpoint. Typically, the REST is used today, mostly. But it can be any technology. I have seen some solutions with WCF, with REST endpoint. So any kind of technology, but it's the HTTP endpoint. And quite a large part of the application is written in JavaScript on the client. You are typically, you have your own infrastructure to call your API, to do validation, to localize the application, and many of those things. And on top of your own infrastructure, there is the presentation layer, which is typically some framework like Angular or something like that. I don't like the orange part of this scheme because it's quite a lot of JavaScript code you have to do yourself. There is no prepared solution that you can easily use. Yeah, the presentation layer frameworks, Angular, Knockout, they're great, but they are too universal for .NET developers. So if you have an endpoint in .NET, you have to do many things by yourself. So I have seen many Angular apps connecting to ASP.NET Web API, and the thing that bothered me most is that you have tons of JavaScript code that does nothing. Nothing interesting. I don't have a problem with JavaScript code, which does some really awesome stuff, but there is a lot of code which just calls the API, which reads the response from the server and tries to push the data from the server inside of the UI controls. So it's a problem because the most of this code can be generated. It's no point in writing it by hand. It's quite complicated for beginners because you have to learn a lot of languages, a lot of frameworks, a lot of libraries. In 2005, when web forms was the best technology for web development, you only had to know C# and HTML. Yeah, it didn't lead to a perfect application in most cases, but you could learn technologies as you needed them, and you don't have to learn 20 things on the start to be able to create just a simple application. Yeah. So you have to learn Angular or some other framework for client-side things. You have to use jQuery UI or other kind of controls or widgets because those form controls included in pure HTML, they are just not really user-friendly and they are not working well. So you have to have some library for a datetime picker, for a nice combo box or something like that. You have to learn many concepts which are today used in JavaScript world, like required.js. Most of the .NET developers didn't know JavaScript really well. They only could declare a function in JavaScript, but they didn't know anything about objects, about prototypes, and all those stuff. If you are writing more code in JavaScript, you have to probably, you don't have to, but you want to learn TypeScript to help at least with some things in JavaScript. And then comes a day when you will have to work with datetime in JavaScript, and you will have to use the standard date class in the JavaScript. And after you shoot yourself twice, you will find some library which makes working with date in JavaScript pretty convenient. So you have to learn Moment.js for such trivial thing like adding 2 days to current date or something like that, and you will have to learn many other small one-purpose libraries for functions that JavaScript should implement, but it's not. So it's many new stuff to learn before you are able to start with even a really simple application. If you need to do some efficient paging, sorting, and filtering data to present to the user in some sort of grid, you don't want to load 1 million of records to the client and then do the paging on the client. You have to support these operations in your API. There are a couple of ways to do it. You can use OData, which is a protocol which can do such things like basic filtering, paging, sorting. You have to support it on the API, and you have to find some controls or some library which can work with OData on the client. So it's a new technology you have to learn. Or you can use the do-it-yourself solution. You just add some parameters to your web API functions like page index, page size, sort, column, or something like that. And you have the paging and sorting. But it's not convenient at all. The framework doesn't help with this kind of stuff, and you have to do everything by yourself. It's doable, but it's again, it's a code that could be easily generated. Then it comes to validation. you have to, every single item has to be validated on the server. You definitely have to validate on server because you can trust anything that comes from the internet, from the client. However, there are some rules which could be evaluated on the client, and it should be evaluated on the client because it's much more convenient for users. They don't have to wait to see that their form contains some errors. They just know it's okay. So if you can validate it in JavaScript, you should do it because it's better for user experience. However, you have to validate everything on the server. And there are many things that can be validated only on the server because you need, for example, to check some unique values in database or something like that. So again, the client frameworks support validation somehow. Server-side validation is supported, but there are two different ways to do validation, and you have to combine them. And you have to write, again, your own infrastructure to combine those two approaches to create a great app. Then you need to display, for example, date or some number. And you need to display it in the format that user would understand, because in each country, the format of date is somehow different. You drive 400 kilometers in any direction, and you're in another country. They have another rules for formatting numbers and dates. So it would be really nice to be able to format those numbers the same way on the server and on the client. If the user is from Germany, then use German date format on the client and on the server. Finding a library in JavaScript that can do this isn't really easy. There was a library called Globalize.js, but I wasn't able to use it in the current version, so I have to downgrade. I had to downgrade 2 or 3 versions back to make the library work. I don't know what happened. But again, it's a problem because you need to have the same formatting rules on the server and on the client. Then some parts of the application are localized on the server. You have some resource files with translated text. There are many of tools even for the translators that they can load your SX files and generate localized things. So there is no need to think or to implement your own way of localization. However, if you want to use it on the client, again, it's do it yourself. There are some libraries for localization on client, but you need to provide them the localized strings, and it's also a do-it-yourself solution. And the last thing, in the time of ASP.NET Web Forms, I was used to write a couple of user controls. I packed all my controls into a DLL library and used it in 20 different projects. The controls could embed some JavaScript or CSS files, so everything was in one DLL. It was a really nice way to distribute those controls into all apps. And doing such thing today with today technologies is also quite more complicated, because if you have some code, you have some scripts, you have some CSS files, you need to pack into one package and distribute in multiple apps. It's not so easy as it was. So it would be nice to have some framework which would be able to create controls which are reusable and which can be distributed easily. And we were, in my company, we were doing several applications in Knockout and Angular. Yeah, it worked. However, we decided to write our own framework which would deal with those problems I was talking about, because really it was too much complicated. It was too much work, and most of the code we written could be generated. So we have created a framework called .vvm. It's open source. It's on GitHub. And it's compatible with ASP.NET. It runs on top of the ASP.NET stack. It's currently based on OWIN, so you can easily integrate it into your apps. So you can have part of the application in MVC and the rest of the application in .vvm. And in the same app, you can also have Web API and Signaler on everything that runs on Ovin is supported. And the main purpose of this framework is rapid app development. I want to be able to create complex forms in minutes. The framework uses the MVVM pattern. We are quite familiar with the pattern. Maybe a question, who is using WPF or Silverlight or something like that? Oh, a couple of people, OK. So you probably know MVVM. And in the world of web apps, the MVVM also takes place. The Knockout.js library is pure MVVM framework. And we have decided to use Knockout.js because it's a really tiny library with no dependencies. It's only very simple framework, but it does its job really well. And we just took the MVVM pattern and moved it to the server. So you have the view model, which is it's a C# class. You declare your view model in the C#. And you write the view in HTML, and we added some syntax extensions to HTML, like our custom bindings or custom controls. And a framework will generate the application which uses Knockout.js. And the framework also contains a common infrastructure for line of business applications. So the datetime formatting is taken care of. Validation is taken care of. If you want single page application, it's really easy to do it. I will show it in the demo. And because we need really the rapid app development, we need the features we were used to from other Microsoft technologies, we have written also a Visual Studio extension which offers an IntelliSense for this framework. So it's really easy to use and easy to start. You don't, the application which is made using this framework contains a lot of JavaScript code, but you as a developer don't have to write any single line of JavaScript. If you can, if you want to, yes, do it. Create your own controls. You can wrap them to be used in .vvm or just add script into the page, but you don't have to. For most features that this framework offers, you don't have to write a single line of JavaScript code. So let's look how it works. If you go to the .vvm.com, it's the website of this framework. You will be able to download a Visual Studio extension. I don't have the internet here, so I have already prepared it. If you install this extension, it's also in the Visual Studio Gallery, you will get all features I will be showing here. So you have to install .vvm for Visual Studio. Only version 2015 is supported currently. To create a new application in .vvm, the extension adds this .vvm template, so you can create a new project. Or if you want to use it in an existing app, it's a NuGet package called .vvm, so it's very easy to start. And the application has two parts. This is Vue. We use the special extension .html, but it's a plain HTML file with some flavors inside. One of them is this ViewModel directive, which says which class is ViewModel for the current page. And we have IntelliSense, so you don't have to write this name of the class, including the namespace. You just pick it from the menu. And we have IntelliSense for the data binding, which is this syntax. And also, there are a couple of server controls. So we have .:textbox, for example, .:button. It's inspired by ASP.NET Web Forms. Many things are very similar. However, it generates Knockout.js application. So let's look how it works. We can create a simple demo. I will write a simple calculator. So this is my view model. It's a plain C# class. There's nothing special about this class. The only requirement is this class has to be serializable in JSON. So use properties everywhere and don't do some crazy stuff in constructor to be able to serialize this class in JSON. So we have some number one, number two. User will put those number inside this application, and there is a result which we will calculate. So result equals number one plus number two. Yeah, very simple application. And now we will create a text box. And in the text property, we will add the binding to the property in the view model. So I as value. Currently, we don't have IntelliSense for the properties in the view model, but we are working on it. So it will be available soon. So this is a text box, and there is a data binding for the number one property in the view model. If the user writes something in the text box, it will appear in the view model. OK. Next one, we'll plus the next text box and the result. And if you want to use the binding in the plain text, not in the HTML element, you have to use double curly braces. It's because it would collide with scripts and styles in the HTML. So if you are in the plain text, you have to use double curly braces. In the attribute, you can use double also, but you can own a single is enough. OK? So this is value result. And we need a button to fire the calculation. And if I click the button, I want to call a function in the view model. So I am using the command binding. And the function name is calculate. The function can accept any number of parameters. So if I want to pass some parameters to this function, I would just write it there. Yeah. So, but this function is parameterless, so I'm using the syntax now just as is. OK, so let's rebuild this app. And I've already loaded it in the browser. This is the previous version of the page. So we have the calculator. And if you look what the framework generated, it's a Knockout.js syntax. Yeah, input type text, data bind value number one, number two. And the result is generates a span element. So the result number will appear in the span element. And then we have a button. And this is more complicated because it creates a post back to the server. And it just serializes the view model, send it to the server. Function is called on the server, and modified view model is returned back to the client and applied to the page. Yeah. So that's how it works. And now if I write 10 plus 15 and hit calculate, it should be 25. Yeah. So it works. It's quite similar. And the page wasn't refreshed. It's only updated using Ajax request and JavaScript. OK, so that's for the start. How it works in the real world. OK, so on this picture diagram, there is the scheme how the whole process works. So on the start, an HTTP request comes from the browser. It's standard GET request on some URL. And the framework creates an instance of the view model. It just calls new on the object, and its new instance is instantiated. Then the view model, typically, it inherits from a class called .vvm view model base. It's not required. It's recommended. You can use any class, it doesn't have to inherit from anything, but it's recommended to derive from this class. If you derive from this class, which declares methods init, load, and pre-render, these methods will be called. If you don't derive from this class, just nothing happens, those steps are skipped. But you can use, for example, a string as a view model. Yeah, it's possible. However, in real-world scenarios, you will typically need those functions to communicate with database and do all the stuff. So init, load, and pre-render, if you're recognizing web forms in this pattern, it's because that we wanted to make it as similar as possible to be easy to make switching to the .vvm easier for people who know web forms. After the pre-render, the all page is rendered, the HTML is generated. Then we serialize the view model and put it inside the page. If you have noticed when I use when I displayed the source code of this page, there are some scripts which are included in the page. The names are quite long, but we will make them shorter in the next release. However, and this is the view model with some internal data. It doesn't look well because it's HTML encoded. However, it's persisted in the hidden field. It has the reason because if you go click a link on and go to another page and then you use the browser back button to return, the contents of the hidden fields are persisted in the browser cache, so the page will be in the same state as you have left it. So that's it. And if you click a button in the page, a postbug will be created, and it just creates an HTTP post request. It's using AJAX. So that's not a normal classic post which reloads everything, including all scripts and CSS files. It's just an AJAX. And it just serialized the view model from the client and send it to the server. On the server, an instance of the C# class is created, init function is called, and then the JSON from the client is applied to the view model instance. So if user change anything, it will appear in the object on the server. Then the load method is called. Then the button calls the calculate function, so after load, the calculate function is called, and then the pre-render function is called, and on the end, the view model is serialized back to JSON. Only changes are serialized to the JSON. We are not sending the whole view model there and back. Only what's changed is sent to the client, and client will apply the changes to the page. So it's updated using JavaScript. It's quite a bit of JavaScript code. However, you don't have to write anything. It just works. If you are curious how many JavaScript makes this possible, I can reload this page. And we see all those resources to be loaded. And we say that the .vvm, it's including Knockout.js, which is something like 24 kilobytes. jQuery is not available. It's loaded because I'm using the debug version of .vvm. However, .vvm isn't dependent on jQuery. You don't have to use jQuery if you don't want to. Yeah. And then there is the .vvm, which is 10 kilobytes of JavaScript code, and .vvm validation and .vvm debug support, which is only a few kilobytes. So it uses JavaScript, but it's not a bunch of JavaScript, it's something like 40 kilobytes of JavaScript that make this thing happen. So it's not something terrible that you will have to wait until 2 megabytes of JavaScript are loaded to use some crazy framework. Okay, so if you were using ASP.NET Web Forms, you may find many things similar. That's intentional. Actually, when we were developing this framework, we were trying to simplify some concepts of web forms, and we just found that it doesn't work, that they must be so complicated that we have to have init, load, and pre-render to be able to support all scenarios we need. So I was really surprised how web forms were well designed, because it's a great piece of architecture. However, we are avoiding the bad things that everybody complained about on web forms. The most hated thing on web forms was the view state field. We don't have any view state. We only have the view model, which is sent from the client to the server. However, the view model is your own class. So if it's too big, it's your fault because you have declared the class and you have put a lot of data inside. Also, you can control and you can define what exactly will be transferred. So if you know that this is a collection of some records in the grid, but you don't have to send it back to the server because server can reload it from the database, you can apply an attribute on the property in the view model and you will say this property will not be transferred from the client to the server. I will show how it's possible. For example, the result. It's set on the server. I need to send the value from the server to the client. But when I load the page, the result is zero, and there is no point in sending the result to the server because it will be overwritten by the server. So I can say that the server, the result will be transferred only from the server to the client. Yeah. And you can apply this on any property, and you can tell exactly in which direction the property will be serialized. The serializer is clever enough to work with those attributes. Sometimes you want to protect some things in the view model. You just don't want the users to change some property. It's JavaScript. Anyone can change the view model on the client, but you have to protect some data in the view model. You can. We have an attribute called ViewModelProtection. ViewModelProtection settings. We are thinking about making this name shorter, but currently it's this. And you have two options. You can encrypt this property so it won't be sent to the client in plain text. It will be encrypted together with another data. Or you can just sign it, and if the user will want to change this value and changes the value using, for example, the DevTools in the browser or some other way and send the invalid value which doesn't comply with the signature, an exception will be thrown and the request will be rejected. So you can protect some parts of the view model to be sure that they are not modified on the client. So you have a control of data which is transferred then from the server and from the client. When the postback is finished and when we are sending the view model back to the client, we only send the changes. So if there is 20 properties, only one has changed, we are only sending the one, the rest remains on the server. So we are trying hard to optimize the data transfer as we can. The next issue of web forms was that HTML generated by the controls was very complicated. There was many inline styles. They were trying to make these apps work even in Netscape Navigator, which supported only very, very old HTML stuff. However, we are trying to do the opposite. We are just rendering the simplest, the most straightforward thing which will work. And we have a documentation, and in the documentation of each control, there is a part called rendered output or something like that, and you will see what each control produces. So the button only produces input type button, on click equals, and some JavaScript to make a postback. Nothing less, nothing more. And you can combine. You can add your own CSS classes or anything you want. If you write class my button, it will be added to the element. So even if we don't support on a text box, if we don't support some property you need, for example, the placeholder, the dot text box doesn't support placeholder. But you can add placeholder equals anything, and it will be added to the element, so it will work. You are not limited to what our controls can do. If you need something extra, just add another attribute, and it will render on the place you need them. Yeah. And you can use bindings here, and if it should work also. Yeah. Okay. So that's the generated HTML. And the last problem of web forms, last but not least, was the testability. It was very difficult to create some integration tests on the code behind of the page. In .vvm, it's very easy because the view model is a class. You can create instance of the class, set these two properties, call the calculate method, and check that the result is correct. We are deriving from the .vvm view model base, but this class is very simple. It only has three virtual methods. They are not doing anything. They are just for you to override. And there is a context which contains information about the HTTP request, and there are some functions, for example, to do redirects or something like that. And .vvm already includes a mocking class for this context, so you can just, if you need to test, for example, that your ViewModel function redirects to a correct address, we have a mocking object which will help you with testing view models. So it's quite easily testable. What does the framework offers? The first thing is the validation. We are using model validation you are used to from other Microsoft technologies like MVC or Web API. So you can use the validation rules, required, regular expression, anything that's in the data annotation namespace. We support also custom validation logic. So if you implement the validatable object interface, we support it. If you implement your own validation attribute, it's supported. So we are it's quite easy to create this functionality. And if we can translate the rule to the client, it will be evaluated on the client. And if it's more complex, if it's, for example, your custom attribute, we are not able to translate to JavaScript, then we just evaluate it on the server. I have a demo of the validation, which is right here. I have a class called AttendDTO, data transfer object. And there are four properties. First name, last name, they are both required. It's a standard .NET framework attribute required, which is used for validation. The email address is not required. It's optional. However, if the user puts some value inside, it must be a valid email address. It must have the @ and something like that. And there is also a parameter receive news. And I want such logic that if I just enter first name, last name, I'm OK. But if I want to subscribe to a newsletter, then the email is required, because I couldn't subscribe to a newsletter if I give them my email address. Yeah? I wouldn't be able to receive any spam. So the class inherits implements the iValidatable object interface, and in the validate method, I am having my own custom logic. Yeah. So if the received news is true and the email is null or whitespace, then I will return a validation error that the email field is required. If the user unchecks the received news field, then this validation will not be enforced, and this method won't return any validation error. So that's the entity. And in the view model contains a property attendee, which is this my object, my attendee DTO. There is an error message for the case that the registration wouldn't go smoothly, for example, some database connection error or something like that. And I have also a property is completed, which says which screen of the wizard should be displayed, because the page contains two screens. First contains the form, and if I complete the operation, another part of the screen will appear and the form will be hidden. Yeah. So that's it. And the page looks like this. This is the first div, which has the visible set to not is completed. The binding supports simple expression. Yeah, simple operators are supported. It's described in documentation what you can use, what you can't. So you don't have to create a property in a view model for every single expression. You don't have to use converters like in WPF. Simple expressions are supported. If the error message is set, I will show this alert div with the error message. And then I have a form. And there is an interesting thing. The data context property says that contents of this form, or any other element, you can use data context on any element in the page, that the context of the form will be evaluated against the attendee property. So I said attendee, and everything it's inside, the bindings will be evaluated against the attendee object. Okay, so I'm I have a form field, first name, and because I want to have validation, I have two attributes which can be added to any .vvm element, and I say that I'm validating the first name property, and if it's not valid, I'm adding the CSS class hasError to this element. Yeah. The same applies to last name. Then I have a checkbox here, which is bound to receive news. And this line is visible when the receive news is true. And again, there is a text box and validation on the email field. And then this is the register button. It calls parent.register because it's inside this form. And the register method is not in the attendee object. It's in the main view model. So underscore parent moves you one data context back, one data context up. So we will be calling this function on the parent view model, which is the default view model class. And this part of the form will be displayed when is completed is set to true. Yeah, and that's it. And the register on the server, typically you can read there is a context dot model state, which contains all validation errors in your view model. However, if the model state is not valid, the function is still called. Yeah? So if you want to make sure that there are no validation errors. Just call context.fail on invalid view state. It checks that the view model is valid, and if not, it will send the error messages to the client. Or you can apply this to be called automatically on every method using something like action filters in MVC. We have action filters in .vvm too. So then, if everything is valid, I'll call a registration service register to event, which write the value to the database, and set is completed to true. If anything goes wrong, I set error message, so it will appear in the screen, and the user stays on the screen it was. So let's look how it works. I open the developer tools, the network tab, so you will see what's sent to the client, to the server. So when I fill one required field and not the other, last name is required, there is no network communication. If it's the required attribute, we can evaluate this on the client, so the postback will not happen at all. Yeah. If I fill this and click on this this checkbox, then the validation rule is implemented in the validate method in the C# code. And of course, we are not so far, so we can't translate this to JavaScript for now. In future, we will maybe able. So now there is a communication. It's a request to the server. And the response is model state. And the server sends that in the attendee.email, there is this error message. And the framework will find this text field mapped to this property and add the CSS class has error, so it will turn red. When I put something, but it's not an email address here, again, I'm getting a validation error. If I make something to appear like an email address, and I click register, everything goes well, is completed, is set to true, so the form disappears, and the second screen will appear. And it's just it. So that's validation. We can use datetime formatting on the client. I hear that maybe we should finish. However, the datetime formatting is supported on the server, on the client. We are using some older version of Globalize.js library. But the format strings you are used to for formatting date on the server in .NET are the same you can use on the client. So on the client, you can use .NET format strings to do the same job. So if it should work really the same. We support resource localization. We have a special binding that could bind to a resource file. So you can use resource binding and resource file, and the localization will take place. If you want to write some e-commerce solution or something like some e-shop or something like that, and or a magazine, and you don't like the application to be generated by JavaScript code, you can use the server rendering. We are able, if you, for example, use a grid view control, we are able to generate all the rows and in the HTML that goes to the client. So if today search engines support JavaScript because many apps are written in Angular, so they are able to index those apps. However, there are many cases when you need to evaluate the bindings on the server and render the responsive the result HTML, not do it on the client. It may be for even for performance reasons, for example, for mobile devices where it's quite slow to create, build large parts of the document object model, so you can just generate the HTML on the server. Let's look how it works. It's 12:30, so I still have some time. Okay. This is a page with a grid view. We have a grid view control included. It supports several features. And if I look what's rendered, then it's not nice. Let's look in the page inspector. Then we have a table, and the knockout data binding for each is rendered. And from the server, only one row template is sent. Only one row is rendered in the, from the server. The rest is done by knockout, which just repeats the template for every element in the collection attendees. Yeah. If I turn on the server rendering, maybe we'll be able to see it here. There is only one row, TR, and no other row. Then this is the end of the table. However, if I turn on the server rendering, render settings.mode equals server, and I refresh the page, you will see that this is KO with attendees, the first one. This is because I need, for example, buttons to work to continue working, so I have to use Knockout on those lines. But this is the first line, and you see that the values are rendered in the HTML. Yeah, they are not created by JavaScript. They are already rendered from the server. Yeah, input type disabled. Yeah, disabled is set directly. Yeah, and this is the second line. This is the third line, and it just works. And the table works just same it was. However, it's rendered on the server. So this is server rendering. The grid view control is quite easy. You just give it a data source. I can also append some other styling attributes. And I define the columns. It's similar like web forms or WPF. I have some text column bound to the first name column, another column to last name, grid view text column registration date. Here you can see the formatting. I have format string, and I'm using the same expressions like in .NET. It will be rendered on the client. It will work. And this is the template column because I want to render a hyperlink. So I use the template column, and in the content template, I just put this piece of HTML with expressions. Then there is a checkbox, which is disabled and which is checked or unchecked. And if I want to navigate to a detail of the attendee, this it leads to a page called attendee/its ID. I can use a control called routelink, because this framework uses the standard routing mechanism in the startup CS, which is the startup class. I have two routes registered, attendees, which is just the domain and nothing else, and the attendee detail, which is attendee/ID. Yeah? And I, using the routelink control, I am able to build this URL to fill the ID parameter to a value I want to have there. So I'm saying the route name is attendee detail, and params dash ID is value ID. Yeah, I use Vim binding, so every line will get ID of the customer, the attendee will get substituted in the route URL. And text of the link is added. So it just works, and it generates nice links using the routing. If I want to delete an attendee, I call the delete function, and I'm not calling it on the attendee object, I'm calling it on the parent view model, so I have to go one data context up. And I can pass parameters, arguments to the delete function, so I will give the function ID of the attendee. And I'm using data pager, which is bound to the same collection, and it generates this paging control. And attendees view model, it's nothing complicated. There is the delete function with the attendee ID parameter, so I can just, when I get the ID, I can delete the attendee and refresh. And if you remember the diagram I showed, the pre-render function is called after the command invoked from the page, so the refresh is done because on the pre-render I always fetch the data from the database. And to make paging and sorting work smoothly, I have a class in the view model called GridViewDataset. It's part of .vvm, and this class contains many properties for paging and for sorting. Sorry. So this is a collection of items on the current page. It's standard list. The dataset remembers the page index, pages count, page size. It can calculate total items count for the pager control to be able to render the buttons. There is a sort expression, sort descending or ascending. So the control, the dataset holds all data I need to page and filter and sort on the server. And it supports eQueryable. So if in this function fill dataset, I pass the data set to the registration service, and I just get an I queryable, and I just say dataset.load from queryable, and the dataset will look on the page index, page size, and sort expression properties, and it will add skip, take, order by to the I queryable and evaluate the I queryable. So the only thing you have to do is to create a data set of the object you want to have in the table and to give it an I queryable, and everything else is taken care of. So it's really simple. Of course, you don't have to use it if you don't use Entity Framework or iQueryable at all. If you have your own data access layer, you can just set the items property of the data set with the data of the current page. You can handle this by self. Yes, you can. However, if you are using Entity Framework or another framework that supports iQueryable, just pass the iQueryable to the data set, and it will apply the paging and sorting things automatically. Yeah, so that can help. And if I want to delete something, I just click and it should work. Maybe I have recompiled. I have to recompile the app. I have done some changes. Okay, now deleting works. Yeah, I can edit a customer. Yeah, I can. It wasn't checked, now it's checked. So yes, it's checked here. So it works. And the sorting should work also. It just creates a postback and changes the value in the grid view dataset. And if I pass the iQueryable to it, it will apply different sort expressions. So if I click on email, it is sorting by email, it's sorting by registration date or of anything, of any field I just can use. Yeah, so it works. And what do you have next? Single page applications. If you have noticed, I'm using something like master pages in web forms. It's it's the same concept. We didn't create anything else, but this is the header and the title is reloaded on every request because it's standard normal app. Yeah. I'm going to a different URL. How it's done? I have a master page, which contains the content placeholder control. And there are two pages, attendees, which on the top, it references the master page. It will be nested inside. So this is a reference to a master page, and I'm saying that everything which is in this content will be placed into content placeholder with ID main content in the master page. So it works. I can have multiple content placeholders in the master page, multiple contents in content pages, and it works. So this is embedded into the master page on the specified location. And if you need to create a single page application, it's so easy as writing three letters. I have SPA content placeholder, and if I rebuild the application, and I will refresh, and I will look at this link, you will see that the rest of the URL is behind the hash mark. So if I click, only this part is reloaded, not the whole page is reloaded, and if you see that we are changing the part of the URL behind the hash mark, so if I can use the back button, forward button, and everything works smoothly. Yeah. So it's quite easy. It works because I'm using the route link control. Yeah. It just generates another URL, and the framework will take care of it. If you are interested what data is sent when I transition between the pages, if I click cancel, we have an AJAX request. You see that server sends a new view model for the page with the grid. And also, at the end, the HTML of the content is sent in one request. Yeah, so we have to load this part of the page. So that's the HTML entry in the request. and we have to replace the view model by the new one. Yeah, so it works, it's on one request, and it's quite efficient. We are not reloading the whole page again and again. Yeah, so single page apps are quite supported. The only thing which is not supported, but it's quite a reasonable restriction, is nesting several Spark content placeholders inside, because we wouldn't know what to put into the URL behind the hash mark. So only one single Spark content placeholder is supported in the app, but you can create the apps, single page apps, quite easily. Okay? We support user controls. The framework is extensible. I recommend reading our documentation. We have several pages about how custom controls can be written. We have some samples, because I know many of you will be using some jQuery plugins, for example, for datetime picker or masked text box or something like that. And embedding or using these jQuery plugins is really simple in .vvm. You can use them just as they are, or you can easily integrate them as .vvm controls. So it's quite easy to create .vvm controls. And we are supporting also dependency injection of the view models. So if you are fancy with IOCDI containers, you can just inject your dependencies into the view model. It just works. It's quite easy. Again, it's described in the documentation. We have action filters. So if you want to, for example, catch all exceptions that appear during the postbacks, and you want to write them into some log file or something like that, or submit to Application Insights, you just can. It's really the same like in MVC. We didn't try to reinvent the wheel. We have seen the demo. And in what stage the development of this framework is? Current version is 0.86. We are close to releasing 0.9. It will be feature complete. No more features until 1.0 will be introduced. And 0.9, we will be only fixing bugs. I expect the 1.0 release will be out before end of this year. It's on GitHub, so you can contribute. You can look how it's implemented. Some things in the core of the framework are still being changed, re-implemented, so don't get scared of some mechanisms we are using there. We have some interesting plans for the future. When I've shown the first demo with the calculator, then it was making a postback to just add two numbers and send the value from the server. The postback is, of course, totally useless, and this functionality could be written in JavaScript. We are having a plan to browse or analyze the view models automatically, and if the function is simple enough to be translated to JavaScript, if it doesn't depend on database or other complex stuff, we will be translating those functions into JavaScript automatically using Roslyn. So if the function will be simple enough, there will be no postback, because we will be able to translate even the C# function to JavaScript if it's not too complicated. The next plan is to make .vvm a framework for isomorphic apps. It's not quite difficult to write a desktop application shell which will host Owen inside, which will host .vvm inside, and you can use this framework to write multi-platform desktop apps, because .NET will be soon truly multi-platform technology, so it will be possible to write apps on Linux, on Mac, or maybe in the phones and tablets. And we are planning about some commercial products. We are preparing the Bootstrap wrappers, a simple set of controls, which will make using Bootstrap much simpler, because who remembers how to create a model dialog in Bootstrap? What's the hierarchy of divs and CSS classes you have to do to be able to create a model dialog? I can't remember this, and we will have some easy control Bootstrap: :model dialog, with one property which will say whether the dialog is open or whether it's closed. Yeah, we are also writing wrappers over Kendo UI, popular set of commercial controls from Telerik, and maybe wrappers for any other controls we find useful and popular, because the magic of .vvm is in the controls and in the fact that everything is prepared for you, that you have one platform which solves everything quite reasonably. We are also preparing a paid version of Visual Studio Extension. The current version is free and it will always be free. However, there will be advanced version of the Visual Studio Extension, which will contain some diagnostic tools for optimizing the application. We are planning to create a localization helper, which just browses all the application and takes all the texts that could be localized and put them automatically to a resource files. So it will help a lot. We already have created a Vue compiler, so it during MS build step, which will precompile all those .html files, so the application will load much faster. So that's the plan for future. If you are interested, go to our GitHub. If you find any problems or if you have suggestion, just contact me. We really need your feedback. We really need your opinions, because there are plenty of things we can do in the framework and in the controls, but we need the feedback. So if you will have a chance, try it and send me your notes and suggestions and thoughts. Okay, so that's all for me. I'm really happy to be at this conference. If you have any question, just feel free to ask. Thank you.